Last week we stopped and looked at some scriptures and a message that was entitled Getting Over Yourself to Get What You Want. And we talked about how as girls we want what we want, right? If a girl wants something, she finds a way. If she really wants it, she finds a way, good or bad, to get it. So the title of the message still today is Getting Over Yourself to Get What You Want. Just a quick, brief moment. I want to just overview last week and then get to the next point. You know, I bet if I didn't tell you last week I had more points, you wouldn't have even have known, right? You wouldn't have known, but anyway, I did start off the message giving you the 3 points and just got to one. It's easy for us girls, but to expand. But I have to say, I really believe it was the Holy Spirit that stopped at that first point and gave points under that point, because that is what we needed at that moment. So I know God has a word to continue for us this morning. We talked about what is it that we want. Us, especially as women, what is it that we want? We think we know what we want. But the truth is, we don't really always know what it is even that we want, let alone how to get what we want. So many times we think we know what we want, and we go for it, we make it happen, and we do not always do it God's way. And then life does not work out, things turn out differently from what you thought, and then somebody needs to be blamed. And I do not know why it is in a time of trouble and tribulation. That is many times when our faith is so high, because that's when we believe in God and believe that He had brought this calamity upon us. I'm telling you, the Bible says that God is the giver of all good gifts. It is not true to the Word of God to say that God brings trouble your way. God surely allows it, because He can surely prevent it. But God is more important, more interested in your character than your comfort. We are more interested in our comfort than our character. Any amen on that? But God is not. He is after our character. So we get what we want. What is it that we want? Girls, we want perfect stuff. We want perfection. We want a perfect life. Come on. Have you ever dreamt as a little girl? Did you dream about this miserable life you wanted when you grew up? No. You had dreams of something beautiful, just something majestic, something princess-like. We have somewhere in the innermost being of our hearts a seed of perfection. Because we were created that way. We were created to live in God's presence, to live in a garden, to live forever. And it's still in our hearts. And on top of that, we were created as a helpmeet. Now go figure, you know, this perfection that we've been created with, the seed of perfection in our heart. And then God created us as a helpmeet. So we are thinking, you know, we have to fix the whole world. And if we just work hard enough, everything will be perfect. And it does not work that way. So somewhere inside of us, there's a cry for something better, something higher, something majestic, something miraculous, something glorious, beautiful, pleasing, doable, leading to make things better, creating and hosting something special, a walk in the garden. There's a place in each of our hearts that we long for. And that is the place that God has created us to be in the first place. But then sin came into the world, and we have now a separation between us and God, but we still have that same desire. Bible says God has placed eternity in our hearts, and we live this life trying to bridge this gap between us and a state of perfection. And the danger is, as relationship manuals on the earth, women can very easily go into manipulation mode. They think that we think we know exactly what we want, and then we're going to make it happen, and then it doesn't happen, and then we're not happy, and when mommy is not happy, nobody is happy, because daddy is not perfect, the kids are not perfect, the house is not perfect, nothing is perfect. So mommy's not happy, nobody is happy. And you know what, and I don't want to labor this point, but too many of us as women lead miserable lives because we're waiting for something perfect to happen in our lives. We're waiting for that big bang to hit us and I don't know what. While the truth is, like the title of this message says, to get what you want, you really have to get over yourself. We think it's everybody else. Hello, girlfriend. It's you. It's we need to get over ourselves. So we looked at how do we do this. We looked at some enemies that we have, and those were the three things that I mentioned last week. We have enemies that we have to fight, things that happen in our lives that stand between us and that which we want. And the way we overcome and the way we fight obstacles in life determines directly the outcome of our life. So it is crucial that we, from time to time, and every time we get together, we look at these practical things in life. What are those things? I've identified three things that come into your life that happens to all of us that have the potential to keep you away from what you want while you are trying your hardest to get what you want, never getting it. The first one we looked at last week is discouragement. And we looked at that, how discouragement will paralyze you. Discouragement is a state of being that you run fresh out of courage. There is no courage. When there's no courage, you don't go anywhere. You don't want to do anything. Everything is too much, too big, too hard, too late, too little, too fat, too small, too what, too this, too that. And always and never, those are the key words of discouragement. I always do, you never do. Those are words that shows that you're fresh out of courage and it paralyzes you. And we looked at ways to overcome that. And that is where we focused on last week, how we have to focus on Jesus. And we looked at that scripture of Jesus in the book of Revelation. When we look at the face of Jesus, nothing else matters. And we said you have to be around people to encourage you, to give you back some courage. This is the place. Not at your house, at the television, watching something that makes you feel good. It's to come to the house of God. This is God's plan for you not to do life alone, for you to get encouraged by others to gain the courage back. And then we said, get order in your life. And more than one of you have told me, oh, I figured that's what I needed, a good night's sleep or a nap. Sometimes that's what it is. Just get a nap. Because when your body is not well taken care of, you lose courage also. It is not strong enough to handle many things. You have to look after yourself. We're going to get to point number two. The second obstacle that comes in our way that we need to face and overcome, and the way we overcome it is to get over ourselves, is when we are trapped by offenses. Now, offenses happen to everyone. Is there anybody in this house who have never been offended? Let me tell you what, we have the capability to be offended by just the way somebody looks at us. That's quite powerful. I remember many, many years ago when we first came into ministry, our very first church we ever had, I had a counseling or spiritual guidance appointment with one of the ladies in the church. And she had this huge issue. I was young and this was, you know, starting out in ministry and I was blown away. And she had a real issue. It affected the quality of her life. And when we got to the point of what is it that has caused you to be in this horrible state of being offended and completely trapped, because that's what an offense is a trap or something that trips you. It's a stumbling block that you're walking, 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 and boom, you fall over. You fall over it. And then when you fall into sin. You are the one that sinned, but then you blame the block, which two wrongs does not make a right. But this lady told me this woman offended her, this other lady in the church, and I said, what did she do? What did she say? She said, oh, you should see the way she looks at me. Really? And I said, wow. I mean, I saw this woman's agony. I saw how hard she was experiencing the situation. It affected her life. And the other person had not said anything or have done. It's at church. Their eyes meet, and she is offended by the way the person looks at her. And maybe, you know, we are not always aware of being that person. We are not always aware of how easily we get offended. And you know, an offense is almost like minor surgery. Can you figure out the connection between an offense and minor surgery? Minor surgery is only minor when it's somebody else's. Have you ever noticed that? Somebody's going in for minor surgery, you say, it's a minor surgery. You go in for minor surgery, it's not minor to you. It's surgery. It's only minor if it's somebody else's. It's almost like an offense. You know, and it's true. I'm standing here to tell you today, get over yourself. Really just get over yourself. Because in the Gospels, Jesus says, when you pray and you have something against somebody, just forgive them. Boom. That's it. So it is true. We have to get over ourselves. But I know by the Spirit of God that there are women in this room who are tripped and trapped by offenses. And none of us can say it will never happen to me. And the way this is a fresh message in my heart is it very recently happened to me. I could just be honest with you, right? This is where we live at. Out of the blue, something came my way that blew me away, that tripped me up so bad that I couldn't even get up. And I'm thinking, God, it shouldn't be this way. I have all the scriptures, you know, I have sermons about this. Get over it. Get over yourself. Get up. When you trip over someone else's offense or even somebody sinning against you and you trip up and you fall and in your fall you are tempted to sin, that sin is yours. It's not the person who tripped you. If I sin while I'm in a tripped or trapped position, it's insult upon injury, but it is all something that I have to deal with. And I'm telling you, there are some of us that walk around with offenses our whole life. And when you walk around offended and don't deal with stuff, there's something that happens on the inside of you that thing stays. It becomes comfortable. It becomes normal. It becomes to take root. That's a pain or a hurt. It's like a wound. Because when you are offended, you are wounded. But if that wound does not get healed properly, it makes you oversensitive. Because anytime anything is threatening that place where you've been hurt before, you are not healed yet from the previous, so it's so much easier to offend you. If I do this, it's gone the moment I, you know, but if there was a big old wound here and I slept, this, I couldn't, won't be able to stand here. It's a huge difference. If there's pain inside of our hearts and things that's not dealt with, an offense gets to us so much easier. So here I was, totally and completely offended. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't even believe it. I couldn't get myself out of it. I cried. I prayed. I bound and loose and prayed in tongues and all of the rest of it. And the next day I get up and wham, it hits me again. Life goes on, right? So we have to go on. And after several days, this goes on, and I'm saying, God, what have I done? What is the matter with me? I do not want to live like this. I cannot afford to live like this. I'm in constant pain. And when you're in that kind of a pain, you are irritable. You just are miserable. And unfortunately, I think, and you know this, a lot of women just live that way. In a constant state of being irritated. In a constant state of that rock in your shoe. Something just bugging you and bugging you. And if you don't deal with it, it will become normal to you. It will settle in your life. It will become a way of life. It becomes habitual to you to act it out the way you act it out. And you will not even know about it. Sometimes when something big happens, you think, oh, pain, 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 and you deal with it. But the symptoms of it, we don't always see in our own lives. Other people do, but we don't see the symptoms in our own life. And we can live with our children and our husbands and our families in this condition and in this state and not even knowing it. And God bless the person who should ever tell you there's something wrong with the way you act. God help them. Oh, no. This offense and this pain in our hearts will use any ammunition it's got. Do you know what that means? When you love somebody, when you're in a relationship with somebody, let's take a husband, a friend, or whatever, you just get to know that person a little bit better than just being acquainted. You start getting ammunition. You know, you've got this big gun. All of us have this big gun. Sword of the Lord on this side and the gun on this side. And every time you say something against me or I don't like what's going on, poof, another bullet goes in my gun. And man, I'm telling you, I like this because I have this gun. With the husbands, you know, are you starting to get, see what I'm talking about? This gun is loaded. And you're happy. Because someday you're going to need it. And when the moment comes that your heart or that wound gets threatened, you're like, ooh, I can shoot you. I have enough ammunition in this gun to shoot and kill. I thought that many times with my husband. I'm looking at him and I say, man, you just don't even know in how much danger you are right now. Because I've got a gun, God knows, that is so loaded. It's semi-automatic. I can pull the thing out and shoot, kill you. You will never live to see the next day. I've got so much ammunition right here. But the sword of the Lord is on this side. And sometimes when this is not enough, we even pull out the sword of the Lord and do the final stab with that. Okay, now how many of you have never stabbed a loved one with the sword of the Lord? Oh my goodness, that sword is meant to take out the enemy. And your husband and your loved ones and people in your world, they are not your enemy. The sword of the Lord is there for Satan and the demons and the bad things, the bad stuff, not people. But then we have this gun that is loaded. And when we are offended, you walk around and girlfriend, you can just look on that girlfriend's face and you can tell she's ready. She just wants that, you know, the captain of the flesh, the commander of the flesh. She's just waiting for the flesh to give that final shoot. And she pulls that gun and she can kill. And each one of you can do that because you've been given that gift with a mouth. And the manipulation and the fix everybody because you're the helpmeet. And then, oh my God, you've got the seed of perfection on the inside of you because you have to keep things perfect. And when you do that, you always lose. That loaded gun is what that means is walk in the spirit. That gun can be as loaded as can be. And all of us have that. That's like the flesh hanging on us all the time. But when the moment comes and you look for ammunition to shoot back and to hurt somebody because you're hurting, You need to walk in the Spirit. And it's to the extent that you are now walking in the Spirit, where there's love and where there's patience and where there's kindness, and love covers a multitude of sin. It covers it. It covers it. And that is how we walk in the Spirit. That, yes, you have the gun. You have it loaded to the fullest extent. But as a girl of God, as a daughter of the King, this is not God's will for us to take out that gun and shoot to kill. How then do we do with offenses? Because the word says in Luke, there's a scripture, trapped by offenses. Jesus himself said, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. Can you see that? Those are the words of Jesus. It is impossible that no offenses would come. So guard your heart. Offenses will still come for the rest of your life. And it will affect the quality of your life. If you don't deal with it correctly and according to God, it will take the value and the quality of your life. It will steal from you, and you will never get what you really want. See that? And we are girls. We want what we want. So God has some guidelines for us how to get that. This is especially dangerous in the church. You know, in life, in church life, I have seen way too many times people who are not in church anymore, ask them, why are they not coming to church? What would they tell you? Somebody said something, done something. Offended people that do not get healed, there's no telling what they're capable of. It's a disease that will chew you at the core, eat you up from the inside out, and you will try to find ways to fix it, but it will not be fixed. It will just be a cycle. So especially in the church, we get to the thing, these are the symptoms, poor me. Anybody ever having any pity parties? Okay, that's all of you. It's not whether you have a pity party or not, it's just how long you stay there. Just have the pity party, feel real sorry for yourself, cry, and then stop it. Then just give it up, okay? We say, it's not fair. Who do they think they are? We have a little pride coming out of here, yeah? How can they offend us? Me, I'm just so perfect, Lord. And we have a need for acknowledgement. Basically, we are selfish and self-righteous. Because how dare you make me stumble? How dare you say that thing about me? How dare you do that to me? How dare you look at me like that? How dare you? I can't believe that you would say that. I can't believe that you would do that. And it goes over and over and over in your mind, and it will destroy you if you don't take care of it. God showed me some things because I got to a place where, my goodness, I love God with all my heart. I have passion in my heart. I am running the race. I am on my way to, you know, attain and in God's purposes and plan for my life. And suddenly I'm like a sailboat in the middle of the ocean and there's no wind in my sails. You get powerless. You're just stuck. And that is a horrible place to be. And God showed me some things. On my knees, I went to God and I said, you know, and I have to just do a disclaimer here. I forgive all of you. Anyone this message is for, it's probably why I had to go through that. So I have to, I'm kidding. I have to forgive you. God allows us to go through stuff to show us, to keep us humble, to show, to take care of the pride in our lives, many reasons, but also to encourage others. And I want to tell you, thank God I'm out on the other side by the grace of God, and I'm here to tell the story, so I just want to encourage you. This is what God showed me. I said, Lord, here's my heart. What in the world is going on? And God said to me, offenses attach itself to stuff in your heart that's not of God. And I said, okay, God, what's in my perfect little heart? I'm so perfect. No, I didn't say that. Then God just searched my heart. What is it? And he showed me, first of all, past hurts. If there are past hurts in your life, a friend has hurt you before, you have trusted somebody before, you have given to somebody before, you have been there before, and you've gone through it, and the same thing has the tendency to repeat itself, the past hurts come back, and the offense actually attaches itself, and that offense is attached to the past hurt, and the past hurt is stuck in your heart, so that holds the offense. See that? And the way to get rid of offense is to get rid of this glue that's in your heart that this thing is stuck to. And we have to deal with it. And I just believe as we talk about this, we don't have much time. But as we talk about this, the Spirit of the Lord is going to show you. Because this is not just a message to listen to. The Bible says the man that listens to the word of God and go out and don't do it is like a man building his house on the sand. But if you really want to build your house on the rock, you hear the word of God and you go do what it says. So please, if you identify some past hurts, we do not want to hear about it. We do not want you to rehearse it. We don't want you to, if it's keep it in the past, but for goodness sakes, just deal with it and get over it. If God shows you those things and you say, Satan, God has healed me from this. I am healed. I am a child of God. You fight the fight. You plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. You let go and say, I will not let this friend that let me down 20 years ago or this husband that messed up on me or whatever happened affect my life anymore. And sometimes we need to speak it with our mouth. We need to say it out loud. You need to go in your room, your closet, and you have to say, I come again. This hurt has no more room in my life. And as you're sitting at that table, you can say this in your heart, even right there. You say, no, in the name of Jesus, what is in the past is in the past. The past ended last night. Last night, from a minute ago or a second ago, back is just dung. I'm not going to turn my back to the dung of the past. I'm done with it. I am moving on. Because if you don't, the offense will stick to that. And as long as you hold on to that past hurt, you are going to be offended. And you are going to be all messed up. And you know what? You're not going to get what you want in life. Okay, the next thing that is ungodly beliefs. That offense sticks to ungodly beliefs. There are some beliefs in your heart that you got from your grandma that told you, oh, baby, this is just the way they are in our family. Or have told you, taught you some things in life through a proverb or through whatever, just family traditions that are not God traditions, that are not God beliefs in your heart, that you're believing stuff that's not of God. And the way to get over that is get yourself in the Word of God, get yourself in church, learn more about God. You desperately need to know the truth about God's Word so that you are not tripped and lied to by all kinds of ungodly beliefs, because I'm telling you that offense will attach itself to any lie that you are harboring in your heart in the form of anything that you are believing that's not godly. So that will attach itself to that. Another thing that it will attach itself to is insecurities. Oh my God, I thought I have dealt with this. I know your word says who I am. But here I am still trying to be perfect. And if you're trying to be perfect and you're insecure about who you really are, offenses love that. That offense will come, attach itself to that insecurity in whatever area of your life you have it, will attach itself. That insecurity is grounded in your heart and you are basically doomed. And the way to do that is to say, it's okay not to be perfect. Maybe we need to say that. Okay, I'm going to say it one more time, and then you're going to say it with me. We're all going to say it together. It's okay that I'm not perfect. Let's say that. It's okay that I'm not perfect. No! The flesh cries, you got to be perfect! Somebody's got to be perfect! Shush! It's okay. Chill. Calm down. We are, none of us are perfect. It's okay not to be perfect. Just don't get prideful. You know? Just stay open to what God is doing. Another thing it attaches itself to is fears. Do you know that the worst fears of your life may come true by somebody else's words? somebody else speak something over you or do something, does something to you. And if that's a deep-rooted fear in your heart, you will accept that thing in a snap. Where there's a fear in your heart, you are fearful that your children may go with the devil. And the first sign you see of that, that fear attracts that offense and gets stuck in your life. And then you cannot think straight. You cannot really act straight until you don't get to the resolve of this. Another thing that's a big one is the quest for revenge. It's also called unforgiveness. The Bible says, revenge is mine. Two things the Word of God says, the glory He doesn't share, and revenge is His. Glory is mine, and revenge is mine. God is very serious about this. But when we've been hurt, and we have not forgiven, it's called unforgiveness. And the Bible is clear. It says that if you do not forgive others, you cannot be forgiven. So when you have something against someone else, some unforgiveness against someone else, then you are also doomed. Do you see that? Because then you walk around an unforgiven person. Because you get forgiven the way you forgive others. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Forgive me my sins, Lord, as I forgive others. You just spoke it over yourself. And you know, many times you're mad at yourself. And you cannot really forgive anybody, really, until you've accepted God's forgiveness. Okay? So you have accepted God's forgiveness, but then you have to forgive others. Because if you don't forgive others, you are basically trapped. It is like having another person next to you, the person that offended you. That you are now shackled to that person, okay? So you have this person next to you in your mind that you're so mad at and that you are not forgiving, and that person goes along with you everywhere you go. It's not normal. People will see you and say, what's up with her? You don't see the person, but there's a person, you know? And you go sit somewhere. You go sit somewhere, that person sits down with you. And you say, girlfriend, come sit here next to me. And the girlfriend tried to sit next to you here, but oh my goodness, it's not working. Because there's someone else sitting there that's hurt you. And it affects everybody else around you in your life. While, in the meantime, that actual person that you're dragging in your mind with you may have the time of their life. How does that make you feel? And on top of that, they may be enjoying God's forgiveness. Because Jesus died for them. They may be flowing in the blessing and the salvation and the forgiveness of God and have a fabulous life. While you are walking around with that person still haven't forgiven. So it's not contingent upon if that person turns around, that's called revenge. I want that person to come back and say they're sorry. I want it to be fixed. I want it to be fixed. You know, sometimes it's never going to be fixed. That person may not even be alive anymore. You're still dragging him with you. You're pulling yourself down. And that thing in your life, we don't have time to go in further to that, but I know you know if it's you. Deal with it right now. Right now. Jesus says in the Bible, when you come to pray, and you remember there's somebody that hurt you, forgive him. Boom. He doesn't give any point one, two, three, or nothing. He just says, forgive him. Just forgive. You don't wait until you feel it. You may never feel it. You do it out of obedience because according to God's word, you don't have a choice. So this is how you do. You come to God, you say, Father, I don't feel it. I don't even want to. I am hurt. I've been offended, God. But in accordance to your word and obedience to your commandments and in the name of Jesus and because of the blood of Jesus, I now forgive blank. I set them free in the name of Jesus. I separate myself from the hurt and the pain and I let them go in the name of Jesus. So in the Christian life, it's much like in a marriage. People who are married longer than 2 years, sometimes 2 days or 2 months, 2 years, they don't feel stuff anymore. Anybody can attest to that? Suddenly you wake up and there are no butterflies. The butterflies all went bye-bye. It's like, okay, I don't feel nothing anymore. Don't feel anything anymore. Wow, I can't believe I was so in love and I felt all that stuff and now suddenly it's not there anymore. So what comes into play, the law that then comes into play, is instead when you're a baby, you feel and then you do. When you grow up, you do and then you feel. In your marriage, if you wait till you feel it, you may never feel it. And just go on, be miserable. Or just get over yourself and do it, and then you will feel it. It's like with forgiveness. Just do it, and you'll feel it. Do not wait for the feelings to come first. So get out of this trap. Cry to God. The Psalms are full of it. If a friend has hurt you, Psalm 55. 56, 57, but 55. We don't have time. Forgive 70 times, 7 times. And you know, we've heard it said that we forgive like that for the same person. But also God showed me, hey, sometimes it's the same offense that keeps coming back. That you have to, I forgive it. It comes back. I forgive it. 70 times, 7 times, and you will beat it. And then you talk to the right people. Don't go blabbering everywhere. Listen to Pastor David's message of last night. Over the top, amazing. Shuttest thou up, as he always says. The Bible in Matthew 18 tells you when to talk, and Proverbs 1 verse 5 tells you when to talk. Talk to people who are godly counsel, and the rest of it, you don't. And if you have to confront that person, first forgive. Go to Matthew 18, it tells you how to deal with that. The third point we're closing with is really short, running the wrong race. The third point is running the wrong race. Listen, sometimes we are all stressed out, and we cannot get over it. And we are running, 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 and then never feeling we're getting anywhere. Anybody ever been there? You are worn out, but you feel you're not arriving anywhere. It's like, okay, this is what it looks like. You are always running, but you never feel you're getting anywhere. You're always busy, but you never feel accomplished. You're always tired, and you don't really know why. You're always trying and crying about relationships, but you never have any good friends. You're always trying to please others, but you never get recognition. See, this is the state of always and never. Thin ice. Thin ice. Always on a diet. What is the never? Okay, finish the sentence. Always on a diet, never losing any weight. Oh my goodness, God help us. You know, that 10, 20, 50 pounds that gets stuck to our bodies. And we run this race of wanting stuff. I want a perfect body. I want a perfect husband. I want a perfect this. We wear ourselves out many times because we are running the wrong race. Here's the key. Do you know what is the key to see if you're running the wrong race or the right race? Who is your audience? Your race in life is a beautiful thing if you run and you live for an audience of one. If there's more than one person in your audience of life who you are trying to please and run to impress, you have a problem. And you may be running the wrong race. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But I want all the other stuff. Yeah, but you get over yourself first and then you get what you want. See, that comes first. So you run the race with the audience of one, pleasing God, trying to impress God, loving God, just having God as the person that is your audience. The Bible says, seek ye first, not me, not you. We didn't say that. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. But no, we want all these things, and if God proves himself good enough for us, we'll live for him. It's the wrong way around. The way is to make sure you run the right race by checking out who your audience is. Who are you trying to please? In the beginning of the day, who do you talk to about your day? At the end of the day, can you say, Lord, was I good today? Did I love you enough today? That should really be the only question in our hearts when we put our head on the pillow. Because if you love God the way you're supposed to, if you run the race for an audience of one, it is a beautiful thing. And all the other things will fall into place. So in closing, just before I close, sad to live a life and then figure out you've run fast and done so many things, but they were wrong things. Don't waste your life. If you've wasted your life in the past, this is the moment to say no more. You know, I am not going to be paralyzed by discouragement anymore. I'm going to do business with Jesus. I am not going to sin when I'm offended anymore. I'm going to run to God. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to forgive. I am going to forget. I am going to love that person. Scripture says not only just to forgive, but then to love that person and pray for that person. I'm not going to live in this offense. In Jesus' name, if I need to, I'm going to talk, but to the right people. And it's time to say, I'm going to get over myself running this race, trying to be perfect. Let's just talk about physical appearance. You know, coming from another state, I lived in the state of Virginia. Southern California girls are different. Did you know that? I love Southern California girls. I wish they all could be California girls. I've really gained the understanding of that song since I've lived here. California girls, Southern California girls, do you know the two things that they have that first strikes you? You don't want to know. Ah, this is so carnal. But Southern California girls have two things that when you come from another place, you say, oh, cleavage. And eyeliner. If you don't have cleavage and eyeliner, you are not a Southern California girl. It's not like that anyplace else, okay? It's not like that in Virginia. It's like, okay, Hollywood, call it Hollywood or whatever you want, but there's definitely an influence in Southern California. And I say, if you need, please, for goodness sakes, take care of yourself. You know, if you cannot manage to lose the pounds, just make what you have look good. You know, start there. Just paint stuff and fix it. Get up a little earlier. Just fix yourself. You don't see yourself, but we have to look at you. Just have mercy on us. Just give us something to look at. My dad was a faithful man, married to my mother for more than 50 years. But mom, isn't it true? Dad always used to say, a beautiful woman is a beautiful thing. He did. And he meant it. But you know, a woman that doesn't take care of herself, such a waste. So, you know, this race that we're in, go out there and dress yourself and paint yourself and renovate stuff and put out flowers and spray air freshener. Make the world a beautiful place. Just beautify your world. But for goodness sakes, don't make that your race. Remember that your race ultimately is for an audience of one. God bless you.